Welcome to The Source. I'm Paul Flav, in for David Martin Davies. The woes of State Highway 130 continue as the privately managed toll road fails to meet revenue projections yet again. Last year, SH 130 Concession Company, which manages the southern 41 miles of the road near us here in San Antonio, had its credit rating dropped to junk levels. Why do you or don't you drive State Highway 130? Give us a call and tell us, 210-614-8980. Joining me now to talk about it is Viana Davila, transportation reporter for the San Antonio Express News. Viana, welcome to The Source.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
So, Viana, you've been covering this for a while. State Highway 130's problems started almost from the beginning. But what take us back to before it was built. What did people expect when they first proposed this?
Sure. Well, you know, there's sort of two parts to Texas 130. The whole project was conceived as an alternative to I-35, which any of us have traveled at know it's incredibly congested, particularly in the Austin area. So 130 was supposed to be the way to get people off of 35. Problem is the state built the first part. Those are called segments 1 through 4, but they didn't have enough money to do the rest. So that's where the private sector came in, and this private concession company formed, and they came up with the money to build the second half, the southern half, which is segments 5 and 6. And those are the segments that are sort of the subject of all of these, you know, financial woes. That opened in October of 2012. And I think there were a lot of questions about how well this would do from the beginning, but there were a lot of hopes that it would draw traffic off of 35.
And Cintra and Zachary are the two companies that started concessions, started the concession company. I mean, were they, they must have thought this was a sound investment. Was there much fanfare? Did they think this was going to be, you know, the answer to all of anyone who's traveled between San Antonio and Austin's problems?
They certainly, you know, put it out that way. I was there at the opening, which had much fanfare back in October. 2012, Rick Perry was there, and it was, you know, I think people really thought that this could be the answer. One of the incentives that they offered was putting an 85-mile-per-hour speed limit on the southern, you know, privately run segment. You know, the northern segment is 80 miles, which is still obviously faster than most. But to put an 85-mile-per-hour speed limit on the lower part, you know, which is the fastest in the country.
Yeah, it made national headlines. I remember I wasn't living here, and I knew about this.
And, you know, I mean, was that a ploy to get people to use it, or did they really think that they would get people to use it, and that was the, you know, the icing on the cake? It's hard to know.
And has the road ever made the revenue estimates that were projected, and what were they? Give us a sense of how far off we are.
We don't know precisely what the projections were or are, because Texas 130, the concession company, won't release them. Mm. We do know that the projections have been, from reports from Moody's Investor Service, financial service, you know, they've been at least, you know, about half of what they were expecting. Projections have been half what they're expecting. In this most recent report that I guess came out last week, they were saying, though, they're seeing some improvement. I believe they said that could still be below, for this year, 70% below.
So there has been some positive things that have come out of the last few months, though, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, there have been. You know, it has gone up a little bit. The same report said that commercial truck traffic has held, were the words they used, which is significant when you think about the fact that for 9 months or so, TxDOT, which is partnering with these private companies on this project, offered a discount to truckers. So truck traffic went up, but then they discontinued the discount, and the report indicates that those levels have remained fairly steady despite that. They think a lot of that might have to do with the fact that Mexico is a strengthening economy. You have more truck traffic, so they're using it.
So you wrote earlier this week that they were looking to restructure because this June 30th payment, which is next Monday, was not something that they could make. Is that correct?
Right. And because they keep, you know, losing revenue and not meeting their projections, they've been eating away at their reserves, essentially, is what's happening. And so now they're getting to the point where they can't make some of these payment deadlines, and so they're, you know, either they default if they miss them or they restructure the debt. And the report indicates that is likely to happen. because the banks that hold the majority of the debt, you know, don't necessarily want to default because they may have more to lose if that's the case.
So the company that manages this road, it built the road. It took out the money to build this 41-mile segment, I believe is the mileage. And but they don't – do they own the road?
They don't. I mean, it's complicated. This was the first public-private road in the state, so it is sort of a new venture for Texas. Cintra and Zachary, and Cintra is the majority owner – or, I'm sorry, not owner. Cintra is the majority developer.
Okay.
They essentially – they built the road, they maintain the road, they operate the road, but they don't own the road. TxDOT still owns the road and the surrounding land. This concession company called the SH-130 Concession Company is leasing it for 50 years. I guess now maybe we're at 48, 2 years in.
The Panama Canal of Texas.
Right. And as part of that deal, I mean, they plunged $1.4 billion into this.
Right.
Those private developers. And as part of that deal, they collect the majority of the toll revenue, but the state does get some. And that amount that the state gets can increase if certain traffic levels have been hit. To be honest, I have no idea if we've hit those levels yet, but I would seriously doubt it.
I want to make sure we get at least one caller on with their
sure.
with their story. Jody has called in. Jody, what's your experience with SH-130?
So I've lived in San Antonio for the last 6 years, and I go to Austin pretty often. But the traffic in Austin to me now has gotten just worse and worse and worse, and I hate trying to get through the corridor between like Old Torf and anywhere and just north of the downtown, and especially on weekends, on Saturdays trying to get back to San Antonio, on Fridays trying to get past Austin, it is something I never would have considered before. Two or three years ago, I was like, it's too far out of the way, and now it has totally become like the best option because you get to drive fast, because you get to avoid that awful bottleneck in Austin. And even if I'm going to Austin, I'm still going to go around to the north and take Airport in instead of trying to get through that awful 35. I think it's just a matter of time before people get it in their heads that, you know, it is a little bit out of the way. But for me, I'd rather be moving fast and getting somewhere than stuck in that.
All right, Jody, I think we got it. I certainly – I've driven from Omaha to Texas, to San Antonio, and the longest portion of my trip is always between Austin and San
right.
Antonio. So thank you so much, Vianna. I do have one quick question. You've got about 10 seconds to answer it. If they don't have any assets, what happens if they default?
If they default, hypothetically, TxDOT could end their agreement with them, and maybe hypothetically take over the road. But
wow.
I don't know the TxDOT wants that burden either.
Sure. Vianna Davila, transportation reporter at the San Antonio Express News, thank you so much for making the time for us this afternoon.
Thanks, Paul, for having me.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. When we come back, we'll be talking to the Texas Tribune about the ongoing woes at the UT system.